The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, there's no question that Quinn Ewers, Texas quarterback, is the most interesting individual in these college football playoffs. We'll see how long the Longhorns last here on this run. But Quinn Ewers, there's so many different ways this thing can go for him. And we'll try and piece together what maybe his future holds. 877-881-1053. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation, ladies and gentlemen. We just got news on CeeDee Lamb in the last hour. He's going to be out for the rest of the season. Cowboys did some further testing on the shoulder after what was an extremely gutty performance the other night versus the Bucks, and really for the last 6 weeks or so for CeeDee Lamb, fighting through the shoulder pain, still being extremely productive, even though he's the only weapon defenses really have to account for, and he's got Cooper Rush throwing him the football. So nothing but love and respect for CeeDee Lamb. Great season. Hate to see him go now, but looks like he's avoided surgery. And yes. Now they will try and rehab this thing and get him back to 100%. Hopefully this offseason it'll be a quick recovery for him. But, hey, listen, when the season's out of hand from a postseason standpoint and that shoulder starts to get a little bit worse, that's a big investment right there. He's already proven the toughness. He's already done the thing, being the high-paid player that is just putting it all out there week in, week out, being super productive. He could have thrown the towel in a month ago easily, but he did not do that. So this has been a really good, when you talk about the way last season ended for the Cowboys and the body language and the offseason stuff about CeeDee Lamb's mom and not liking Dak and all that stuff, questions about kind of the way he goes about his business from that standpoint, he's been outstanding this year. And him and Micah both, I think, deserve some credit, being on a down-and-out team, both fighting through injuries, but playing fantastic football.
No, you're absolutely right about it. And with, you know, CeeDee, and you could tell how important it is. There's guys have goals and aspirations, and you know, when you still, there's things to fight for. And CeeDee, you know, we were all kind of surprised, like, oh, who's leading the league in receptions? Oh, it's CeeDee Lamb. And you're kind of thinking, like, wow, with a backup quarterback, this, that, and the other, you're just like, you're surprised. But in reality, you shouldn't be surprised. That's just the way CeeDee Lamb goes about his job. Such a pro's pro. He goes out there, he plays banged up, as we've all seen the last several weeks. It's important to him. You know, there's been some times where body language has not always been great, but you have to look at that in the way of, like, you know, hey, he wants to be involved. He wants you to throw him the football. He wants to be the guy that's making all the big plays. And that's his demeanor. That's just the way he plays the game. And you know, so for him to be not being able to play these next 2 weeks, that says an awful lot. I mean, of the things that he was having to deal with, that shoulder just, you know, was not going to allow him to play, even though playing at a very, very high level, you know, it just was going to be potentially get a little worse.
All right, Will Chambers is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes, and I believe he was getting his hair cut, and the weather, you know, that was one of the worst drives in I've experienced here with the amount of rain, flood patches.
Are you dealing with, like, bad windshield wipers?
No, my wipers are pretty good. I got the wiper.
Did you figure
update.
Out how to use the defrost?
Yeah, I'm in on that. That was Lucius's issue
yesterday. Okay, I thought I was wondering, I couldn't remember who was dealing with the defrost problems.
No, the thing that just kills me is when there's patches of deep water, and then the person next to you, maybe it's a truck, and the water just comes pouring
water
off the
out.
Windshield, and now you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Drivers can't go fast.
I just want to come to a complete stop here because I can't see anything now. That must have happened to me 10 times on the way here. So Will Chambers fighting through some of that, but he is going to come in here with a fresh cut and probably a pretty solid buzz as well.
Do you kind of, is that with the haircut or the lunch that he had?
That's lunch.
Will's got kind of like, I'm talking about hair. Right, I shouldn't be talking.
He's got great hair.
He does have great hair. Did it look like he needed a haircut?
There he is. Okay. As a matter of fact, right on time.
Yeah.
Did he need a haircut? I'd say no.
My man's got a damn good. My man looks like he could be coaching like in the Big East in the basketball. You know, with like Rick Pitino and you know all these
yelling to his guys to get
John
back on
Calipari,
defense.
Get back. You know, he's got the hair.
Guys, 30% of the time he's going to miss to the left. To the left. Damn it.
Will
Dude,
Chambers.
The random pointing.
Yeah. Act like you're doing something.
Oh, always. I could definitely play a role in a movie or a TV show as a college coach. I couldn't act worth anything, but I could definitely act like a college basketball coach.
You could be like the opponent in Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Could you be the opposing coach in Hoosiers?
Absolutely.
Wear like the thin tie.
Oh, yeah. Always,
have
you know,
program
always adjusting,
up.
You know, and you know, just kind of flattening it back out. Absolutely. I could kill it. But
good
I tell
to see
you,
Will.
It's good to see you guys,
in your
too.
Carolina blue.
Trying
to get Quinn Ewers to Bill Belichick.
Juke and Ryan told me to tell you, said hello.
Thank you. Yeah. That is, we get our hair cut at the exact same place. Fun fact about me and Will Chambers.
Okay. Are they two different styles of haircuts? You both go for the same? Because I've noticed you've gone for the kind of the slick back kind of look, too.
No, I'm not really putting stuff
kind of
in
like, uh-huh. like the vampire. You got a vampire haircut working.
Yeah.
A little bit.
He's got the hair
for the vampire.
Like, you don't have to do anything really to it.
Right. Yeah. I just kind of let
it
ride.
I'm wearing a hat most of the time.
He doesn't shower. He's got the same damn clothes on yesterday.
Yeah,
he slept in his clothes. Yeah. He was on the couch,
and
he woke up and he came to do the show today.
It's Christmas, man.
Sounds like my Christmas morning.
Why would I change my undies in my socks if I don't have to?
No, there you go. By the way, this is the most Italian look you've ever given in your life.
That's what
I mean,
said.
The chain with the quarter zip open
Thank
with some
you,
chest
Will.
Hair.
Thank you, Will.
Seriously.
Everybody, I mentioned this. I mentioned this. You know, in the crosstalk. And Medford and CA are like not even acknowledging that. You know, I'm thinking, I'm working
How are
with,
you not? He looks like a jeweler.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he looks like, Italian man.
I mean, like
Inside
a jeweler.
Job.
And I mean that in the sense like the uncut gems.
Oh, yeah, like veteran gambler, jeweler, probably with some fake jewelry that I'm trying to sell. Yeah, that's me. Welcome to the program. It's good to see you. Merry Christmas, Will.
Merry Christmas. All right.
Thanks for being here almost on time.
Guys.
I'm sure we're paying you a lot to be here on time.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, dude, I was moving down 114. Something that occurred in a conversation yesterday, which is some friends getting together. My brother-in-law's mother has like an open house on Christmas Day. Mm. So it's like a bunch of people were all getting together, friends. And I was talking and he asked me, and I went, that's a great question, that what kind of chaos could we be seeing over the course of the next couple weeks with college, these CFP games because of the transfer portal? What if we have some injuries? You know, and this was
We've
coming
got
off the news that Devin
with,
Brown...
With
Luka
and Lamb, we got enough injuries.
Well, all right, so Devin Brown is gone. This is where we really... The first thing that needs to happen after this season, as far as changes go, it's not the reseeding or getting rid of all the conference championship bye stuff. The first thing is the portal cannot open until the national championship is played. It cannot open.
Well, how about adjust the portal? Can you do this for teams in the playoffs? Everybody else can move if you're not in the playoffs.
Okay. I'd be good with that, too.
But
that's a problem because then...
If you get eliminated... Well, okay, but you're right. The guys from the championship teams, the final teams, aren't they going to be the better players? They're probably going to jump in the portal. Is that... Would that be?
I don't know if it's fair to say that. I don't know if it's.
I've said a lot of unfair things, and that you're probably right about that.
Well,
I wonder. Are you?
It's musical chairs.
Are you penalizing anybody? Are you penalizing anybody by if they're, you know, if you're trying to keep the playoff teams together?
Yeah, they. You got to go to where, if it like Bo Prabula, the backup quarterback for Penn State,
right?
Devin Brown, backup at Ohio State. Well, they're the opportunity to go start. Yeah, could they wait and get another one? But you got to strike. If you're like, this is where I want to go, but right. I have to do it now or else this team is just going to go get another player.
Right.
So it forces them into doing it. If you don't allow those teams to have their players to transfer until after the season is done, that creates the problem there of, all right, well, the places that they may have gone to get their starting opportunity or NIL, or however we look at it, it'll come and go. You know, they may not get that. I started to think, I was like, wow, what an advantage for Texas. If indeed we do see some injuries, you know, Carson Beck is already gone. You got Gunnar Stockton. I don't even know who it is. The another backup for Ohio State just left. Like Devin Brown and then some other guy.
Air Nolan.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is one of the most amazing names
I know
for a quarterback. First name, Air.
No kidding.
Can't get on the field.
I mean, Gunner. Gunner's awfully good, too.
Gunner's not bad. All right.
That was an interesting question. I was like, I started looking at it. I'm like, damn, that could be.
They do need to move some stuff around with
that. I was talking to my dad with this yesterday. My dad's 85, so give me a little latitude here. But I was telling dad, should college football have 1- and 3-year contracts?
That with like, players?
With players. Like, you, if you sign a player or you recruit a player, he could sign a 1-year deal or a 3-year deal. But he has to stay the whole year if he's the 1-year deal. He can't leave or anything like that. Are you guys opposed to that, or would that be something that you would favor? And that way, it would help me for team building, that I know I only have these guys for 1 year, and I have the rest of these guys maybe. Now, you could sign a full 4-year thing if you want, but I kind of feel like that maybe they need to have 1- and 3-year deals is what they need.
I do think they should have contracts.
I think we're going to get to that point anyway. I mean, I think there's going to be collective bargaining. There's going to be all that kind of stuff because there needs to be some sort of order in it. So I would agree. I don't with the 3 years just because you're really beholden to that. I think that there needs to be where you're going with this is you want a little bit more of a governor on the transfers, right? You shouldn't. Like, we were joking about that kid. He may even be a local one, but he ended up at Southern Cal. I think Jared was complaining about this, and rightfully so.
His first name was Bear, I think.
Yeah.
He's the defensive lineman.
He's transferred
a million times.
Yeah, he's, like, transferred high school 3 times, and now so far he's done it, like, 3 times in 2 years in college. And you're like, wait a minute here. That's a problem. I'm all about the ability to go somewhere else. You know, if you've got a coach that leaves, you should be able to go too. But let's get some guardrails in there to where, like you have to be there at least a year. Like, let's give it a year. I think with exceptions, if a coach leaves and all that kind of stuff, the 3 years, I think it kind of holds you a little bit too much. But I think that that's up to whatever. I mean, if the player wants to sign a 3-year. Yeah.
I kind of feel like, though, if you commit to the 3 years, you know, you get enough of those players, I think you're going to have a pretty good team because you'll know the continuity and you can recruit. They got to do something also too about these coaches going and recruit. You have to recruit your players twice.
Yeah,
you have to do everything to keep your players on campus because you're getting them poached by other programs.
And the fact that it's happening while the season is still going on is insane.
That's where I have an issue.
Yeah.
And I know my buddy Mike Lombardi is down there in North Carolina is talking to agents and all that. He's trying to steal players from other teams.
Yeah, look, you've got
They have so many years they have. And they probably have Belichick for, 2-3 years maybe? They got to build that thing as fast as they can.
Well, you've got two windows, right? You've got the fall and this winter window.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, it's winter and spring, excuse me. Yeah, because the other one's in April. Make it one. Make it like 45 days, and, you know, that's one window right there. Then also the redshirting, because you can redshirt, I believe, three times if you include medical. And then once you do that, I mean, I think that's what that kid did, the Slukel from UNLV. I probably just butchered his name, but he was a starting quarterback for the first four games for UNLV.
Yeah.
Wasn't getting any money or what he was promised. And so
then you redshirted,
So, yeah, he redshirted, and now I think you got to calm that down, too. Because we're getting these guys that are playing 8 years. The news that came out within the last few days, I heard Choppy and Bobby talking about it with the JUCO thing. I don't think that's an awful idea. I mean, I know that we've always had it to where it's high school, then going to college. But you all think about it. Think about it with LSU. I'll think about it with Kentucky. You know, think about it. All right. What if I had football players or basketball players that were coming in? They weren't 18, but they were 20, and they were pretty seasoned. That's a better product, right?
Yeah.
I don't hate that. What I hate is the constant moving.
I'll say this, though. I know my years of scouting, I always look forward to the juniors that declared early. There would seem to be a better crop of junior players than there were senior players.
Yeah.
When it came to, you know, when you came to the draft. The list, the early declare list, I'm always thinking like, man, there are better players than these senior
players.
Yeah,
they're more talented. I mean, there's a reason why they're not coming back for their senior year.
But we had guys, because of NIL, guys were making good money to stay the full time. There's no sense of coming in and being a fourth round pick or fifth round pick or something like that if you're gonna
Quinn Ewers. That's what we were kind of talking about the other day.
Yeah, we need to have a Quinn Ewers conversation. We'll have more college football and the Eric Kendricks Show live from the Star in Frisco. All that coming up next right here on The Fan. All right, Eric Kendricks, Cowboys linebacker, set to join us here in just a few minutes live from the Star. He missed last week's game versus the Bucks. Hopefully he's ready to go versus the Eagles. We got the news that CeeDee Lamb is going to be out for the rest of the season, as he's going to start the recovery process on that injured shoulder. So salute to CeeDee Lamb. And, I mean, I think Jalen Hurts is probably not going to be playing on Sunday, so it's going to be a who's who of slop when it comes to the offense. Probably a lot of Saquon Barkley, probably a lot of Rico Dowdle, and we'll see how this one ends up. Let's have a little combo college football conversation here with Will Chambers as he sits in for the Power Hour here.
What's up?
And we will get to Eric Kendricks as soon as he's ready to go. Who do you guys know who the odds-on favorite is to win the title, the college football playoff? Who do you think is the favorite? Because I find it interesting that Ohio State is favored to beat the Ducks.
But still Oregon,
see,
maybe?
I looked this up because the college football playoff, they said name the finalists, okay? And they put the two teams together who are likely to be the finalists for the college football playoff.
Oh, okay.
So plus 500 is Texas versus Penn State.
That's the most likely matchup?
That's the favorite to be the most likely matchup.
Gotcha.
Okay. Texas versus Penn State.
Boy, I'll tell you, if we had Carson Beck playing, I would guess it would be Georgia, because it's obvious the top of the bracket looks like the much tougher end of it right now, because you got Ohio State, Texas, and Oregon, where you've got Boise State, you know, Penn State down there on the bottom. But
you got one team. Who do you think is the current favorite? I got it from FanDuel.
I'm going to say,
I wonder if people think Notre Dame's got this thing. Notre Dame is always a fan favorite to bet.
Well,
I'm going to say Georgia.
Think Georgia's the favorite?
I'll say Notre Dame on a flyer.
Mm. Well, the odds-on favorite at FanDuel right now is actually Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. At plus 310. And then quickly thereafter that, at plus 330, it's Ohio State.
Okay.
So those are your top two favorites now.
That's based off last weekend.
okay, well, here's the top. If you talk about the finalists, here we go. +600 Georgia and Texas.
Yeah, so Texas is
+650 Texas and Notre Dame.
Look at that.
+650 again, Penn State and Ohio State. +750 Oregon versus Penn State. +750 Georgia versus Ohio State. +800 Oregon versus Georgia. +800 again, Notre Dame versus Ohio State. +900 Oregon versus Notre Dame. +3,000 Boise versus Texas.
Yeah, that's Boise State. Boise State has the longest odds here at +8,500 to win it all. Then it's ASU at +6,500. Then Notre Dame.
I think Boise lost their backup too to the transfer portal. I think. I don't know. It's just off the top of my head.
But the pressure's on Texas, man.
Yeah.
Texas is the odds on favorite. You just gave the three most likely, the top three most likely matchups all involve Texas in the title game.
But I think that's fluid. You know, that's coming off of the performance they had against Clemson. The questions about Texas all stem from the offense, right? It's all from the offense. And then look what the offense did, you know, against Clemson. So, and the same thing with Ohio State. You know, Ohio State, on their first drive, all 75 yards were through the air and by penalty. So, I know we'll get back to it. But
yeah, we'll get to some more college football. But good news, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Kendricks is now on the program. Live from the Star in Frisco. Eric, thank you so much for giving us some time, man. Happy Thursday and Merry Christmas to you. Did you have a good holiday?
Merry Christmas. Sure did.
That's awesome, man. How does the schedule get changed? Because it's a work week, obviously. How much did you get? Did you get mostly an off day yesterday? I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, we got off day yesterday. So usually off day is on Tuesday, but we came into work Tuesday, and then we had yesterday off, which was nice. But now we're back to work.
How was that case of Pennzoil you got in your stocking? Was that was that helpful for you?
You know, I used it to, you know, immediately.
Immediately, you know. Yeah. You just went out in the back. All right, I'll see you guys later. Everybody else kind of opened up the presents. I got to do some work out here back, yeah.
No, it's funny because my cousin who lives in town, their son loves work. He's like three. He's three or four. And he loves, like, screwdrivers, hammers. Yeah. So I got him a shovel for Christmas.
That's like, practical, man. It's a practical gift.
And he was telling him, you know, I gotta go work. I gotta go shovel. So
that's awesome.
He already
man.
Was putting it to work.
I love it. Now, were you up like on Christmas Eve? Are you having to build like building toys or putting things together? Was that a part of this year's Christmas festivities?
No, Christmas wasn't really the same. You know, my wife is in California with my two kids now.
Okay.
So we kind of had to do the split Christmas this year, but hopefully that's the last one ever. So.
Heck yeah! Well, that would be wonderful. Now we were bummed to see you not playing last week. Kind of a game time decision thing there. How you feeling now?
I feel good. You know, just waiting to see. You know, just we have a couple more days running around, so we'll see.
Your guy Nick Vigil, Maris Leofau, though. I mean, they stepped up. Vigil with 10 tackles. Were you a proud big brother?
Nick's my bro. He's not. I want to say big bro. We're like, you know, we play together in Minnesota together. Obviously, I know what he's capable of. Been next to him, he had some really good games, and you know, I mean, this is the NFL, like I said, and we have a really good linebacker group. I feel like we all push each other to be better, so you know, I was super super proud of the boys, because you know, it was like a tenacity that they carried with them the whole game. You know, it was like a relentless effort, which I was most proud about.
Which play impressed you the most? There was a couple of phenomenal plays, but if you were doing like a SportsCenter top 10 power rankings, would you have the Jordan Lewis interception or the Deron Bland strip walk-off style at the end of the game? Which one would be your number one
play? Yeah, the strip was crazy, but the J. Lew interception was nuts, because I feel like as a defender, we all know that kind of position you're in, and it's a losing position. And it's not a losing position, but you know, chances are, you know, you can't see the ball. The receiver knows exactly where the ball's at. They can run into you, get a PI, you know what I mean? So to stay in a good position, and not only, you know, sometimes, you know, the best thing that comes out of those is usually PBUs, you know what I mean? Or like a drop.
Right.
But to stay in there, to stay in good position, and to get an interception. I think I've only done that once my whole entire life during a practice, and it was like not even to that caliber. So very hard to play to make. Hats off to him. You did it in the game.
Hey, Eric, okay, you were talking about Nick, and I, you know, you guys work on drills and stuff all the time. You need to coach him up on how to recover those fumbles near the sidelines. I was thinking like, okay, scoop it back into the field of play, but man, it's like, it's kind of like that Baker made, it's kind of weird how that kind of all went down right there, that he was diving on the ball and couldn't keep it in bounds. Is there something to that, a technique, or is that just luck?
I mean, it's so much luck involved. I feel like when the ball hits the ground, you don't know where it's going to bounce. You know, right. It's a football. It's weird shaped.
Sure.
But you know, not only that, but that play was crazy. Like in itself. So, for everything to go on, and you're just like trying to just jump on it, get on it, and mm-hmm. then it's like, you know, the grass is, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Sure. But it was close.
Eric, Will Chambers here, man. Good to meet you. Haven't had a chance to talk to you. I'm just hanging out with the guys here today. But that was some inspiring football, especially on the defensive end last week. And you go into the game knowing, you know, the fate of the team and the season. What's it like? You know, you're a veteran. You've been here before where it's unfortunate that you got games left. What is it like as a player coming into these last few weeks and what you're trying to do to get yourself motivated, you know, as a professional?
To be honest with you, like, I feel like, especially now, I like where we're at. You know, I mean, obviously we're not where we want to be. Let's mm-hmm. be real. Sure. But as far as our mentality and as far as like the chip we have on our shoulder and like, you know, how we're playing, you know, as a team and stuff like that, it's like, okay, now this is the brand of football that we want to play. Everybody's just trying to match that brand. We're inspiring each other out there. You know, we're playing together. We're communicating well. Like, it feels like we were humbled early on, and now it's like, you know, we're playing with that edge that we should have played with at the beginning of the year. But, you know, no future in the past. However, it was cool. It was so cool to see. You know, obviously I wanted to be playing, but just the energy and in mm-hmm. the physicality, everybody was hitting.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah, it really was.
And everybody was just, you know, it wasn't an easy game by any means. But everybody was scrapping just to win, and it was inspiring. You know, I really was proud of everybody.
Eric Kendricks with us here on The Fan. How do you guys receive that news when you're officially eliminated from postseason play? Before the game starts, does coach walk in there, let everybody know, or how do you even find that out?
No, I didn't even know. No, I mean, someone like said it, and I was like, what? And then they were like, yeah, like, I think Washington beat Philly or something like that.
Yeah,
and I was
yeah.
like, oh, and then it was just kind of like, whatever, we got a
yeah.
game.
Yeah, back to business, man. And you guys came out inspired. It was a fantastic performance. Hopefully we'll get to see you playing these Eagles coming up this week. How does it work when Jalen Hurts, the status of the starting quarterback, kind of up in the air? It looks like he's trending towards not playing. How do you go about preparing for a couple of different quarterbacks?
I mean, you just prepare, you know, obviously they're a good, really good running football team, really good in the air as well. They have weapons everywhere. So you just prepare for them and their style of offense. We saw a quarterback in the last game come in a little bit. So maybe we can get some reads off that. But to be honest with you, we just got to play our keys, play our brand of football. You know, the cliches, you know, stop the run,
yeah.
get to second and long. You know, those things are just going to help and play complimentary.
Eric, there is a lot of challenges with dealing with Saquon Barkley, and you know about that. But is there an added sense of like he's close to an NFL record, but it ain't happening on our watch today?
I guess you could say that, but at the same time, you know, we got a job to do.
Yeah,
we know what kind of caliber player he is. I guess you can kind of know what's at stake, I guess, in a sense.
Sure.
But you know, that shouldn't be the ultimate factor. However, yeah, you don't want that to happen. Come on now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you guys talk about like what's ahead for Philadelphia and what you can do to spoil it? Does that ever come into the conversation?
Never. I mean, at this point, we're just trying to beat everybody. So mm-hmm. that was, you know, that's been our goal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, you can, the victory will probably taste, it'll probably taste sweeter if that's the case. But I really have no idea that anyone's standings, but I feel like, in college, that's how it was like always like at the end of the year when the Bulls were kind of getting figured out.
Sure.
It was like we were, like teams would just be trying to be like, oh, let's beat this team. So,
Spoiler.
How can we screw Southern Cal? Is that what you're always like week in, week out?
I think we were playing Stanford or something like that, and they weren't having the best year. But they were trying to go to Vegas or something like that for their bowl game. So they like came out like guns blazing, like coming out hard. But I never beat Stanford in college.
Well, how do you like playing in Philadelphia? Is that the most just hostile place that is really in the NFL right now?
Probably, for sure. I think they're known for that, which is crazy. But I feel like it makes it kind of cool too. I always like away games. I always like a little bit of hostile environment. Mm-hmm. A little bit not in your routine. You have to kind of like get uncomfortable. You hear the boos. It kind of gets me into the game a little bit quicker, to be honest. But Philly's one of a kind for sure. My brother played there for numerous years. And I got some crazy, some crazy Philly stories. So,
Oh, give me your best one.
I mean, we all know how brutal, their fan base is, but, when we played against them in Minnesota, in the championship game, I heard, I heard people getting peed on in the bathrooms. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, I don't really know what you mean.
Obviously they throwing stuff at our buses. What else? I feel like too, for if you're a player on that team as well, like you're not safe either, Like,
right. Yeah. If you play bad, they're ready to boo you and get you.
Oh yeah,
out of
like
town.
Quickly. But I feel like but they had such a rich sports history, like town, blue collar, hardworking. Sure. They want to see their teams win. They want to see their teams succeed. So I don't know, they got that crazy rap.
Hey Eric, do you like the way the league schedules though these divisional games at the end? Like,
I do.
You kind of feel like that, and this year, hey, it's not where it needs to be for you guys, of course, but you feel like that you have a chance to, we were talking about maybe knocking somebody out or doing something. Do you like the divisional games the way they are?
I always like the divisional games at the end. Obviously, I think getting a taste of them earlier in the year is cool. They kind of spread it out, scatter it around a little bit, and then you get at the core of it at the end. I've always liked that because I feel like it made the stakes a little bit higher. And especially going into playoffs, it was just always like, it just makes things interesting. NFL, the games are always so close. I'm talking about the individual games earlier in the year, but then you see towards the end of the year how close things really always are. And it's always amazing. You always think someone's out of it. You always think someone's in it. And it's crazy how it all shakes out.
Could you give us a little bit more details on that peeing situation you referenced a second ago?
Yeah,
imagination's running wild.
I just heard people going into the bathrooms with the wrong colors on. And it's like if you're at a urinal, and your back is turned.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Eagles fan peeing on Vikings fan, right? That's unbelievable.
No, it's crazy.
High intensity, man. Eric Kendricks with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, what type of Christmas gift exchanges went down in the locker room? Did the linebackers do anything? Did you see? Did the quarterbacks get the offensive line?
We had a gift exchange in the linebacker room. We had a couple e-bikes going around, little electric bikes. Some designer bags, wallets. What else we had? We had some cologne. Real good Christmas exchange.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, we got the bad news on CeeDee Lamb. He's going to be out the rest of the year. I don't know. Maybe I'm breaking that news to you right now, Eric. It happened in the last couple of hours. But when you see a guy like that, he gets the big money contract. The team is obviously fluttering, not going where you want to go this season. But him stepping up and despite the backup quarterback situation, going out, having a big year, toughing through the pain, how much does that just resonate in the locker room? Like, hey, that's leadership stuff right there from Lamb.
Yeah, I feel like he's a great player, and obviously he's a guy now on his team. Solidified with that contract, but his tenacity when he plays the ball, especially when he has the ball in his hands, Everybody could feel that on the sideline.
Absolutely. And then one more wide receiver question. We heard a few weeks back Tom Brady referencing his old teammate Brandon Cooks when he was calling one of y'all's game. And he said that his nickname, Brandon Cooks' nickname, was Cookie, at least in the Patriots. Is that the same with the Cowboys?
I mean, I've heard that, you know, so I went to school at UCLA with Brandon Cooks' best friend from his hometown. And he called him Cookie. So it's been a nickname for him. I'm pretty sure everyone calls him that.
I love it. Well, we hope to see you playing against Filthy and keeping Saquon Barkley contained on Sunday. Thanks so much for the time, man. Merry Christmas, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Eric Kendricks right here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Let's continue a college football conversation with Will Chambers in the building next year in the Nation. All right, the Longhorns have the best odds to win the national championship. That adds a nice little layer of pressure, and I think the most interesting individual throughout these college football playoffs is Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers. This can go so many different ways for him. If he really starts to light it up here, you're talking about a guy who could be winning a national championship and being a first-round pick in the NFL draft, or he could be benched for Arch Manning in the first quarter of the next game for the Longhorns. And then what do you do from there if you're Quinn Ewers? Do you declare for the draft and see if you're going to be a first round pick? I think a lot of people view him as maybe a day two guy. Or do you take a nice little NIL bag and go to a quarterback needy team, name that team? Maybe it's Bill Belichick with the Tar Heels, mm-hmm. Lincoln Riley with the Trojans. The Miami Hurricanes just did a one-year transfer portal quarterback with Cam Warden, had a great year. I don't think they have anybody to replace him there. There's three options for you. Go make money and improve on what has been an underwhelming season.
Let me ask you a question here.
For him personally.
No, I was going to ask you guys a question real quick.
Oh, who's got the question of the day?
Who has a better chance to develop you, Sark or Dan Lanning?
Oh, going to Oregon. That's a great opportunity because Gabriel will be gone, right?
Because the last two quarterbacks that have rolled out of Oregon.
Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, we'll see where Gabriel ends up as far as the draft orders and stuff. But I just wonder, but has Texas made their decision on Arch Manning?
I think that decision
and
has
now
been
he's
made.
They're quietly telling him there's no NIL bag for you here anymore.
For Quinn?
Yeah, you need to move on.
I think that's how it'll play out. My question for you was, how many, if you can remember, this is an inexact science, obviously, and we've talked about one guy that you and I both got wrong. Like, I remember Joey Harrington.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was going to be great. But who was drafted high, like a first-round draft pick that you had maybe a third-round grade on or something to that effect?
Nix. Bo Nix.
Okay.
Bo Nix.
But absolutely. Because of their success.
Yeah, I had vision. I had vision of, like, I felt like he was in the perfect situation. I still had this thought about him playing at Auburn, and I'm thinking,
yeah,
like,
well, it's hard to get out of your head.
Well, no, it was like, was this just a 1 year deal?
Right.
Was this guy just?
He was not good at Auburn. He was not
at all. He was horrible at Auburn, and I was thinking, like, okay, this was one of those 1 year wonder deals. You know, Ryan Leaf, 1 year wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Keely Smith, 1 year. You know, Mitch Trubisky, 1 year. You know, that was my phobia about the player. And so I was absolutely, now he went to the perfect situation.
Yeah.
With Sean Payton. You know how Sean was going to
use it. Yeah, it's worked out for him. It certainly worked out for him.
Yeah, I think with Quinn, you know, to be an NFL quarterback, you got to drive the football. He just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
I think he's got the ability. I mean, you will see outlying, you know, throws here and there, but for the most part, he really leans just into that, you know, that floating long ball. NFL safeties are going to eat that up big time. I think he needs to develop more because that's really his only pitch. And he doesn't throw with anticipation. Now, you can do that and be successful, but you got to really, like Caleb Williams right now is not throwing with anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to do that at some point in the NFL. Caleb Williams' arm is insane. it's still going to come back to bite him if he doesn't, you know, get better in that area. So to me, I think that he should, you know, he should stay and develop that for the betterment of his career.
Yeah, I think he's going to move on. If I'm Ewers, man, I'm looking at other places here. I think the
right with
the
Southern
Oregon
Cal
is interesting.
I don't know right now what USC's situation is, but like they going just to lost Lincoln
their
Riley,
guy, right? Their guy just left. The quarterback that started
Miller Moss.
Yeah, Miller Moss left. Yeah,
there's
yeah,
a handful of different opportunities that could be out there for him. I don't even
like
know
$4
what,
million dollars. Is that out of the question for you? I wouldn't think so. I think
$4 million seems pretty dang high, but even for $2 million.
But for a guy that's led, you know, his team to the college football playoff 2 years in a row, and they're going to go in another direction. I mean, I think that would be the asking price.
Is it despite him, or is it because of him?
No, I think that he's a good, not great quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got great playmakers mm-hmm. around him. He's got a really good offensive line, too. So I think all of that together is part of the machine that is Texas right now. Yeah. They looked awesome. I mean, like I was saying to you guys the other day, three opened up the game with three drives that ended in touchdowns. They didn't do that all year. He played well, but he does, you know, things. I don't know if you can win a national title with him. I think you need both he and Arch to do that, but you can't. Arch is going to be the quarterback. You're not going to ask him to sit on the bench, you know, next year.
No, that's why it's like Quinn, you either declare for the draft and see where the chips fall, and I think he's probably a day two guy, or you go get a 1 year bag with a ready made college football program.
Were there any bridges burned in Columbus?
Go back to Ohio State. Yeah, because they're losing Will Howard. I don't know what their succession plan is after him.
I mean, they're losing quarterbacks by
Ohio
the day.
Ohio State always has a guy, don't they?
Well, you think that, but they have right. Will Howard right now.
Okay, you also have Jeremiah Smith for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't.
A monster wide receiver.
Yeah. Right. That's wide receiver you, but you know you got Jeremiah Smith.
I'd like to have a word with you at LSU, please.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Yeah.
It's a good counterpoint. Brought us wears his LSU sweatshirt.
They are good, but the Ohio State, I mean, there's so many of them.
Oh, no, I mean that. No
but disrespect. LSU is definitely right there. Yeah.
Well, it'll be fascinating. This college football playoff stuff is going to be awesome. We'll get more college football coming up tomorrow for sure on a Football Friday. No question about that. We do have football's finest, though, and that's next with Will Chambers in the building.